as morning shifts to afternoon, we welcome you in to the EverBank pregame show. I'm Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Lagerman here on Jaguars.com. We'll be joined by senior writer John Osher in just a little bit. But let's start with a couple of key injuries, Jeff. For the Jaguars, obviously they will not have Dan Scooter today. There will be no Allen Hurns. They're blessed at this point to have Brian Walters and Aaron Colvin up.
Yeah, let's start with the injury to Brian Walters. He did not practice all week long, went through a workout earlier with the doctors, trainers, and Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach. He looked to be okay, but you could tell when he tried to reach down and touch his toes, wasn't quite right. I think we're going to see Rashad Greene take some reps away from Brian Walters, and Marquise Lee will assume the starting role that Allen Hurns typically his man. Now, as far as Dan Scooter goes, if there was one game you'd like to have Dan Scooter, this would be it because of the performance and the tight end Delanie Walker the Tennessee Titans have. He is their leading receiver, 59 catches on the year. His career high was last year at 63. He is a dominant player, and I am concerned because Thurston Armbrister, the rookie backup linebacker, is going to get the start in today's game. And we know Mike Mularkey loves the tight end.
Loves him. And Dan Scooter, by the way, was teammates in San Francisco with Delanie Walker. So he was looking forward to the matchup. Obviously not able to go. We'll see if the groin relents and he's able to go next week against the Colts. One key injury that stands out from the Titans' perspective is Derek Morgan, the outside linebacker.
Yeah, Derek Morgan against the Jaguars the first time out was limited to 17 snaps. Was inactive last week against the Oakland Raiders with a shoulder injury. When you're facing a Dick LeBeau, Pittsburgh Steelers-style defense, the outside linebackers are the engine that makes it go. He's not going to play in today's game. The shoulder is just too hurting too bad for him. One that we really weren't expecting to see, and we just saw probably about 15, 20 minutes ago, was Aaron Colvin was working out with the trainers and the doctors. He was not on the injury report all week long. He had an ankle heavily wrapped, and there was a lot of discussion going on between Gus Bradley and the doctors. He is going to play. He is active. But my question is, if he's going to play, and the way I saw him walking around very gingerly on that ankle, how good can he be? Because Delanie Walker a lot of times lines up in the slot. When the Jaguars go to nickel, it could be Aaron Colvin covering Delanie Walker.
Well, Demetrius McCray has gotten more time in recent weeks. How has he played? How confident would you be with him out there on Delanie Walker? He's tall, he's long, and he's got some starts under his belt.
You definitely like the length as far as, you know, Delanie Walker's matchup, because but Aaron Colvin is a guy that really you love, not only because he's got quick change of directions, etc., but also because of his ability to blitz. He's leading all NFL defensive backs with four sacks, and not having him is not going to help.
For the Jaguars today, they get Marcus Mariota, who couldn't quite pull off the last-second comeback, but is a guy who completed 23 of, I think, 35 passes. I mean, he's a very efficient quarterback, and looks like he's going to be a good one. How do you attack him?
I think you try to confuse him. Yeah, it was interesting this week reading some of Mike Mularkey's comments about Marcus Mariota. He talked about how when Marcus first arrived, he had to get used to doing something he had never done at Oregon. That was calling plays in the huddle. Are you kidding me? He didn't call plays in the huddle at the University of Oregon? They didn't do it that way because they ran it basically from the sideline. It was all sideline checks. So Marcus Mariota had a huge adjustment. So for me, you mix it up. Young quarterback, even though his efficiency is high, his interceptions are low, you still try to mix it up. You still try to confuse him.
You haven't gotten a lot of pressure up front this year. Do you worry about the Titans' running game, or can it allow you to do some more aggressive things with the pass?
Well, I think you worry about it because I thought it was pretty good against the Jaguars the first time out. You know, the numbers didn't pile up because of the way that they played the football game, but I think if they were committed more to it, it would have been better. I think I am concerned about that in today's ball game. But am I overly concerned? No, because the Jaguars are number one in the National Football League in yards per rush allowed. So it's going to be a great matchup, though. Your two young quarterbacks getting after it.
How about flipping it over? Last week, 55 called offensive plays that were passes. That is not a balanced attack in any way, shape, or form. I can't believe that's the way that Greg Olsen and Gus Bradley want to build this football team.
No, and that's not the way that they expected to call football games, because all season long, training camp, everything, all they talked about was taking the pressure off of a young quarterback in Blake Bortles and being able to run the football. Well, last week it didn't show that. 49 passes, but if you factor in the six rushes, it was actually 55 versus nine rushes. So clearly, you need to have more balance. This week, with the Titans missing Derek Morgan at one outside linebacker spot, you need to take advantage of that.
All right, final thought with you, and that is this is a really big game for this football team. They're two games back, but you've got the Colts playing Pittsburgh tonight in Pittsburgh, and you got the Texans playing in Buffalo. I mean, if you win and they lose, you could be a game back.
I think it's important from that perspective, but I think more importantly, You lost a game last week against the San Diego Chargers that they came in losing six in a row. Many people thought they should have beaten the San Diego Chargers. You can't lose to the Tennessee Titans the very next week. You need to get this win.
All right, Jeff. Have a good broadcast this afternoon.
That's Jeff Lagerman. He'll hand the mic off to the senior writer of this fine establishment, or is it the fine senior writer of this establishment? We'll let you decide. John Osher. Hey, John, how
There's
are you?
There's not much fine here.
No. In other words,
we're just getting by.
Yeah. So Jeff was watching the warm-ups. Aaron Colvin's ankle, obviously, is an issue. And so today, when you stop in Delaney Walker, they're going to need to employ a bunch of defensive backs. Maybe Demetrius McCray is going to even get out there.
Well, I think it'll fall to Cyprian a little bit. Telvin Smith, these guys have to get back and sort of guard those 15 to 20-yard passing lanes downfield. I didn't think Delaney Walker dominated the game 19 days ago the way his stats indicated. He had a couple of plays at the end of halves. He had a big play, but it didn't feel like he controlled the game in the way tight ends sometimes control the game against the Jaguars. But it's certainly an issue. That has crept back in to the dialogue around the Jaguars the last two or three weeks, the trouble stopping tight ends that they've had really since Gus got here.
Back in the spring when we were debating quarterbacks and all of that, you had some concerns about Marcus Mariota and where you thought he'd be to this point, and we're talking rookie season. What has he done that has surprised you or impressed you better than you thought he might be able
He's
to?
He's focused, and I assume it's him and Titans coaching staff, on becoming a pocket passer when a lot of people weren't sure that he'd be able to adapt to that quick. The Oregon offense doesn't lend itself to seeing that a whole lot, yet he's good from the pocket, he's accurate, he's got good timing, accuracy, all those things. So far, so good. The word you hear from people who talk to Titans coaches is he is so beyond in terms of preparation, maturity, NFL quarterback stuff that you want, and that's really helped him, and he can run.
I think we saw that, the 23-yard touchdown run in Jacksonville.
And that's what you have to guard against with this guy. I don't think they're ever going to put him in a situation, it doesn't sound like, where he's running all the time or running a whole lot of designed runs. But he's good enough that when they pull it out of the bag and do it once a half, he's very dangerous with it, and that's what you have to watch.
Phillip Rivers, who doesn't have any wheels at all
right.
compared to this guy, had a couple of first downs, including that fourth and seven.
Yeah, those were scrambles, though. Those happened. Those were a little weird.
I don't think maybe they have some of those called today?
I think they probably got a couple called, but I don't think they're going to overrun him, which is very important for his development.
Do you have anything new to add on the red zone?
I wish I did. I wish I had.
We've been talking about it for so many weeks.
Yeah, and
what would be success today?
Well, one thing to bear in mind, they've been bad in the red zone, no question. Numbers a little skewed last week. If you move the 21-yarder to Julius Thomas up, then they scored 2 out of 5 times in the red zone. So they weren't completely ineffective last week, but the first 3 times when they happened just took the soul out of the offense.
First 2 drives.
Yeah.
You could have been up 14 to nothing, and then you may have a San Diego team that starts
right.
thinking about the 6-hour flight home.
And it sort of goes back to the killer instinct, or whatever you call it. I hate to call it killer instinct, because it's not that they don't know how to put a team away. It's just they're not good enough in the red zone yet to take advantage of those situations. And that's time. That's quarterback maturity stuff. And it's – Julius Thomas talked about it. I think it was Monday. Time together for these guys. And that's really what they don't have yet. Julius Thomas, Allen Robinson, first-year offense, Blake Bortles. All those things were not things that we were talking about 19 months ago around here. That's how new it is. And I think over time, as they get more continuity together, it'll get better. But that's where they're sort of stuck right now.
Everyone who's watching knows the Jaguars are going to miss Allen Hurts. The question is, how much? What can Marquise Lee do?
Well,
how can they adjust the offense to lessen the impact?
I think what you're concerned about with Marquise Lee, if he has a couple of plays, then defenses have to account for him because he's that explosive. You have not seen him be able to have the consistency of Allen Hurts, meaning a guy who 15 yards downfield on 3rd down and 7 is going to get you consistent first down. Allen Hurts, as much as anything, has been consistent. Marquise hasn't shown that yet. I think this is a huge opportunity for Marquise Lee. It's the time that he needs to shine. It's what he came here to do. He's been underused the last 3 weeks, sort of by necessity. There hasn't been a place for him. But him on reverses, him on 3-yard passes, you're not going to get enough out of him to get productivity in that situation. Today, I think you're going to see him running downfield. You're going to see him doing wide receiver things, the things he was put on this earth to do. He's got the God-given talent. Now he's got to stay healthy, and he's got to show that that talent can be productive in the NFL. Will he be? I hope so, because I like the kid. I think he's motivated. I think he's approaching it the right way. I can't say that he will because we haven't seen it.
Jeff didn't want to talk about, you know, winning and Colts and Texans losing in playoffs to you.
Well, not until it gets a little closer. I'll say why this is important. You got five games left. You're 4-7. The next five games, how they go, are going to decide how you feel about this season. If they win three or four of those, boy, you feel like they came on from 1-5 and had a heck of a finish. If they don't do anything the rest of the way, then it's awful. So I don't know if playoffs is something this team can control, but they can control how they feel and how I think fans feel and observers feel about this season. That part is still out in front of them, and they haven't proven anything yet. Three wins, I think you feel a lot better about this season, and that's attainable.
That is fine analysis. Is it okay if we end on that?
End how you will. You're driving the car today. Or the truck. We're in Nashville.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I have a Ford F-150, so there you go. All right. Everbank pregame is done. We'd like to thank Max. We'd like to thank Dave DeCandis. And we'd like to thank Patrick Kavanaugh, along with Jeff Loggeman and John Osher. Enjoy the day. Follow him all day on Twitter. And, of course, we'll have comprehensive coverage of the Jaguars-Titans game throughout the day and throughout the night here on Jaguars.com. Have a great afternoon.